Good morning, and I'm glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm going to conclude our series of lessons that we've been doing over the past few weeks from Paul's epistle to the Colossians. And we've described this book as the all-sufficient Christ. And I hope that these studies have been helpful to you. We take the theme from chapter 3 and verse 11, Christ is all and in all. He is the one that we need and all that we need to have a right relationship with God. And I'm encouraging all who listen to this program to make sure you have that right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through an obedience to His gospel and following His word in the New Testament each and every day, and Lord willing, being at home with Him for eternity in heaven. We're going to close this morning looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 17 through the end of the book. So we've been looking at the theme of Christ is all and in all. We noticed at the beginning of our series some places in the book of Colossians, just to wrap up and review here, where this idea of Christ being all-sufficient is found throughout the book. For example, again, just looking at a sampling here in chapter 1, verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Chapter 2 and verse 3, in whom, Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden, all the treasures. In chapter 3 and verse 11, Christ is all and in all. And in chapter 4, we're going to see in our lesson today that you stand fast, perfect, and fully assured in all the will of God. So, there were those in Colossae who were saying, you don't have all you need. You need other knowledge. You need other human philosophy. And Paul is saying, no, you have all you need in Jesus Christ. And it is the same today. If we have our New Testaments and we read it and study it and obey it and live by it, we have all that we need to have a right relationship with God. There are no other latter-day revelations. There are no other religious books that we're supposed to be following. It is the New Testament law of Christ. So, Christ is all and in all, and He can be that way for you, friend. We've also made notice of an emphasis in each chapter and how it relates to Christ. For example, in chapter 1, Christ is preeminent. He's first place. In chapter 2, Christ is all wisdom. He's the answer to any false teaching. In chapter 3, we've been making mention that He's a life changer. Up through the first 6 verses of chapter 4, He's a life changer, changing our perspective and our character and our authority, our marriage and family, our work, and how we relate to our neighbors around us. He's a life changer. And so that brings us to chapter 4, verses 7 through 18, these closing admonitions and a list of individuals, a closing greetings and benediction or blessing. A lot of times in the epistles of Paul, it's easy to skip over this part of his epistle. There are different epistles that he writes where he closes with a list of names and short statements about them. And we might think, well, you know, the doctrinal portion or the main teaching portion of the book is over with. I'm just going to skip this part. But I would encourage you not to do that. There are meaningful lessons in these closing parts of Paul's epistles. And they are names. They are names of individuals. They are names of Christians. And I want you to stop and think about something, friends, with regard to these names, not only here, but in other parts of the Bible. You stop and think for just a minute that the Bible is not just a book of doctrines and teaching and laws. The Bible is a book of names. And God knows you and I. He knows individuals. He knows each individual. He knows if they are living good or living bad lives. He knows each and every one. And I find it interesting that personal names of personal individuals are often recorded throughout Scripture, and we find here at the closing of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Stop and think about what that means. Would you have been mentioned had Paul been writing this book and you had been living at the time and you had been a Christian? Would your name be mentioned as outstanding in Paul's mind to put into a letter that will be for all time? Once you're in Scripture, you're going to be in Scripture for all time. It's not going anywhere. The Word of God abides forever. Imagine having your name for all time. What a privilege that is. And if your name had been mentioned, would it have been mentioned as someone who's living faithfully and doing right, or unfaithfully and not living right? Paul mentioned those kinds of individuals as well who were not living right. So I want to close by looking at these individuals, these closing comments. And I'm going to do it this way. I want us to look at these individuals as being individuals who allowed Christ to be all in all in their lives. In order to tie this theme together with these closing names, these are individuals who said, I'm going to let Christ live in my life. I'm going to let him be first place. I'm going to let him be my wisdom. I'm going to let him be my life changer. I'm going to let him be all that I need in life. And let's see then, when they did that, let's see what happened in their lives. And the same thing will happen in your life as well. If we'll let Christ in, he can change us for the better, and we will be out doing good for him and his kingdom. Let's look at it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my affairs shall Tychicus make known unto you, the beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for this very purpose, that you may know our state and that he may comfort your hearts. Tychicus. Tychicus had already been mentioned back in chapter 1. With regard to Epaphras, we're going to get to him in just a minute. He's mentioned back in chapter 1, and Epaphras will be mentioned again here in chapter 4. But Tychicus mentioned here, is found to be, number one, a beloved brother. Number two, a faithful minister. Number three, a fellow servant. When you let Christ into your life, you'll be a brother and sister in Christ, beloved. You'll be a servant, a minister, and a faithful and trustworthy one, and a fellow servant in the Lord. You'll serve with other Christians and help out the cause of Christ with others. What a great thing to be a beloved brother, to be a trustworthy minister, to be a fellow servant, and join hands with other Christians. We live in such a selfish world today that if we let Christ in, we can be a servant to those around us and help them in such a good way. And then Paul goes on to say, together with Onesimus, this is the runaway slave that Paul had converted and sent him back to his owner, Philemon. And Paul writes also at this time, along with Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then Philemon, writes a book to the slave owner, Philemon, encouraging him to take back this runaway slave, Onesimus, whom Paul had helped to convert to Christ while he was in Rome. So Onesimus is coming back. He and Tychicus, they're bearing the letters of Colossians and Philemon. But notice how Onesimus is described as the faithful and beloved brother. He came to Rome a runaway slave. He's returning a faithful and beloved brother in Christ through Paul's efforts in converting him, and Paul talks about that in the book of Philemon. But notice what happens when you let Christ in your life. Paul says, they shall make known unto you all things that are done here. Let Christ in, friends. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Aristarchus was a traveling companion of Paul. We read about him, for example, in Acts chapter 19, in Acts chapter 20, in chapter 27, verse 2, when Paul is on his way to Rome. And he's continuing to be with Paul even at this time. What a great person to travel and be with Paul. These next few names here in Colossians, I find it interesting that Paul mentions these same names at the end of Philemon. To have your name listed twice in Scripture, mentioned more, but twice by Paul here in Colossians and Philemon, to be living right and to be noticed by Paul at the end of the book of Philemon, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, salutes you, and so do Mark and Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. If we let Christ in, we can accomplish good for the Lord. Let him be all and in all. In other words, friends, this whole series of lessons that I've been doing over the past few weeks is not just simply to be theory. I don't want it to be hypothetical and theoretical and sort of some interesting information from Paul. But like these men that are being listed here, let him in your life and actually change you. And you go out and be a brother in Christ, a minister, a servant, a fellow prisoner, serving the Lord. What a great thing that is. Let him be your personal all in all, not just theory. And then Paul mentions Mark. John Mark. Mark had left Paul on his first preaching trip back in Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. As a result, when it came time for Paul to travel a second time, he didn't want to take Mark, Acts 15, 36 through 41. He took Silas and Barnabas. His cousin took him. But now notice that Paul speaks warmly of him. Mark apparently had changed. When Mark had left Paul, that was about 10 years before this, the early 50s. Here we are in the early 60s. In about 10 years, Mark had made some growth and change and maturity. And here we find change for the better. And you can do that. When he comes, receive him. And at the end of Philemon, Mark is described as a fellow worker. He's now working with Paul. He's not leaving him. And so you can make a change. And that's a big lesson that we need to learn for us today. Some have described it as the land of beginning again. You can travel to the land of beginning again. So he left Paul, and he is now, some 10 years later, a fellow worker. Peter will call Mark his son around this same time, 1 Peter 5:13. Mark will write the Gospel of Mark a little after this book is written in the book of Colossians. And so we can find that you can make a change. And I love the statement where Mark is even mentioned a few years after this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministering. Mark made a change. And he can make a change in your, Jesus can make a change in your life as well. So, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, touching whom you received, back now in Colossians 4, verse 10, if he come unto you, receive him. and Jesus, that is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, men that have been a comfort unto me. You know, you let Jesus in your life, you can work with other Christians for good, and you can comfort and encourage other Christians around you. We're not going to be selfish. We're not going to look out for number one. We're not going to be worldly. But Christ is filling up every aspect of our life. In verse 11, we read about Jesus. I like to call him the other Jesus. We're so familiar with Jesus, the Son of God, all throughout Scripture. But this is the other Jesus. Jesus was a Jewish name, meaning save or savior. And he is called here by his Greek name also, his Jewish name, Jesus, his Greek name, Justice. And Paul says that he was of the circumcision in the New Testament. These are Jews, and some of them had become Christians. Some of them were very committed to the old law. Now, some of them were so committed to the old law that they wanted to bind elements as parts of salvation when they were not supposed to. But some of them, like this Jesus that is called Justice, even though he was someone who had been faithful to the law, he was willing to be a fellow worker in the kingdom. I take that to mean someone who is truly converted to Jesus Christ from first century Judaism without causing a problem by taking Christians back to the old law. He was a fellow worker along with Barnabas and Mark and Aristarchus, getting their hands dirty in the Lord's work. Are you willing to do that? Am I willing to do that? If we let Christ in our life and he's our all in all, we will let him do that. And then Epaphras that I mentioned earlier, he's the one that is mentioned at the beginning of the book, back in chapter 1 and verse 7. Even as you learned of Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras is bringing information to Paul and helping him understand the situation at Colossae. And he's a member there. So in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you there at the church at Colossae, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always striving for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. He's spoken of as someone who is beloved. He's a servant. He's a fellow servant, cooperating with Paul and others. A lot of people don't know how to cooperate with others. He was faithful or trustworthy. He was fervent and zealous. He was a mighty man of prayer, always striving for you in his prayers. He didn't just pray for himself, but for others as well. That's what happens when Christ is your all and all. And he was praying that the Colossian brethren may stand perfect or complete, fully assured in all the will of God. All the will of God. The Gnostics and others were saying, no, you don't have all of God's will. We have to give you special knowledge and wisdom. And Paul says, no. What is being revealed by the apostles and prophets and written down in the New Testament, this is all the will of God. And it's contained in the New Testament. It is all that we need for us today. We do not need latter-day revelations. We do not need other religious books and writings of man. We have all that we need in the New Testament. If that's not the case, then Paul was wrong here. And Epaphras was wrong for praying that prayer. But in fact, it is true. And Jesus is all our wisdom, all our spiritual understanding and wisdom. He is all and in all. And so Epaphras is someone who allowed Christ to be in his life along with these other individuals. Will you do that? Will you be like that? Verse 12, again speaking of Epaphras, "For I bear him witness that he has much labor for you and for them in Laodicea and for them in Hierapolis." Notice that this man not only prayed for others, but labored for others. You know, prayer might be more of the easy thing to do for others, but to actually get out and work and do something for others, that often takes a little bit more effort and work, and he was willing to do both. Again, he let Jesus be his all and in all. There were two other congregations nearby Colossae, Laodicea and Hierapolis. Laodicea, we're told, some 30 years after the writing of Colossians, we have John in the book of Revelation saying that they are a lukewarm church. Here they appear to be faithful. Later they're going to be lukewarm. They're going to be materialistic and lukewarm for the Lord. They haven't completely left him, but neither are they completely serving him and zealous for him. They're just lukewarm, and they're materialistic. We read in Revelation chapter 3. What's interesting is that we find later in verse 16 that they are supposed to read this epistle of the Colossians. Since they lived nearby, they could read the epistle of the Colossians, and the Colossians could read the letter that was written to Laodicea. We don't have that letter. And what's interesting, I find, is that if the Laodiceans read this letter to the Colossians, and we have no reason to doubt that they did not, they're going to learn what it takes to be zealous for the Lord. And when they read that, I'm sure they were zealous for the Lord for a while, but like I said earlier, in about 30 years from now, they're going to be lukewarm. They did not put into practice these things that they read in the letter. For example, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Christ is to have the preeminence or the first place. In time, they didn't let that happen, and they became lukewarm. Christ is to be all of their wisdom, and they are to be rooted and builded and established and grounded in Christ and walking in Christ, chapter 2. But sometime later, they didn't do that, and they became lukewarm. They, chapter 3, they were to put off the old man and put on the new man. And one of those things was to put away covetousness, which is idolatry. But sometime later, in their lukewarm state, we read in Revelation chapter 3 that they had gotten focused on their riches and their material things. They didn't take heed to that statement about removing covetousness. And they would not allow later Christ to transform them and change them, and they slumped back into a lukewarm state. So I'm sure when they first read this letter, they were faithful to the Lord, but they allowed themselves to grow unfaithful. And we've got to be very careful about that today. It can happen to us today. So back to this list, verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas salutes you. And so we keep coming down. Luke traveled with Paul. He wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke 1:3, he wrote the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1:1 and following, addressed those books to Theophilus. He traveled with Paul. There are places in the book of Acts in what we call the we sections, where Luke included himself as a traveling companion, and he speaks of we. And he's still with Luke. And in 2 Timothy, a few years after this letter, Paul is going to say, only Luke is with me. You know, when Christ is really in you and controlling all about you, you're going to be a dedicated servant and friend and fellow Christian. And that's what Luke was. And then Paul mentions Demas. Demas salutes you. He appears here in the book of Philemon, verse 24, as a fellow worker, and in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. If that's to be taken negatively, as it commonly is, then Demas left Paul for some reason. We're not given the details. He loved this present world. He didn't love his appearing. That's the love that's mentioned earlier in 2 Timothy 4, but loved this world. And the word forsake is the same word used later in the chapter. At my first offense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. And so I take this as a negative thing. We're not given the details of why and what all was going on, but something in loving the present age, Demas forsook Paul. And if it is to be taken in a negative state, then what we find here is that right now, Demas is a fellow worker. Philemon 24, here in Colossians 4, he's a fellow worker. He's with Paul. But a few years after this, he's going to love the world in such a way that he forsakes Paul. So you can have someone like Mark who turns around and comes back for the better, and you can have someone like Demas who turns for the worse. Let's be the one who serves the Lord. And then Paul goes on to say, in wrapping this up, salute the brethren that are in Laodicea, Nymphis, and the church that is in their home. Again, when we have Christ in our lives, we're going to open up our home for the brethren to meet. And when this epistle has been read among you, cause that it also be read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you also read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Archippus is in the church at Colossae, and he may have been in the family of Philemon. He's mentioned at the greeting in the book of Philemon. But he is to fulfill his ministry. He's to keep going and complete whatever that work he was to do. There's one other place where Paul mentions that, and that is Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Fulfill thy ministry. That's a good reminder. If we have taken on a particular work or service or role, it's always good to be reminded from time to time to finish it. Finish it, complete it. That's a good reminder. And then the closing salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Friends, are we going to let Christ be in us? Are we going to let him change us? Are we going to be someone who is really working and serving and ministering? Someone who's a beloved brother, someone who's a servant, someone who's willing to work with others and cooperate, a fellow worker, someone who prays for others and labors for others and opens up our home and sacrifices and serves. It all begins by obeying the gospel and letting Christ be our all and in all. I appreciate your attention as we've gone through this book of Colossians, and I hope that it's been helpful. And I appreciate your attention this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.